It's Lucy Litch, and this is Tiny House Conversations. It's the Australian-based podcast where I interview experienced tiny houses, tiny builders, and adventurers in the tiny world so you can discover how to create, build, and transition into tiny life. Before we get into the show today, have you got a burning question about tiny house living? Here's my personal invitation to you to ask a question you might have been wondering when it comes to living in a tiny house or creating your dream tiny life. I'd love to feature your question on the show in an upcoming episode and share my answer, or perhaps get another expert to answer it if there's someone better suited to speak on things in the same episode as well. To submit your question, head over to tinyhouseconversations.com/voicemail and leave me a 90-second or less voice message there. Thanks so much. Now let's get to the show. Welcome back to Tiny House Conversations. Joining me on the show today for the second time is Jo Arneson, who's one of the co-founders of LJM Tiny Homes, based on the Sunshine Coast of Queensland. And Jo is a tiny house enthusiast, an experienced designer and builder, and master communicator with a true passion for helping people on their tiny house journey. Jo's passionate about connecting with people, understanding their story, and walking with them every step of the way to creating a more minimalist and sustainable life. And in this conversation, we talk about what Jo and LJM have been up to since last being on the show in June of 2022, including many of the tiny home builds they've done, why they rebranded from LJM Carpentry and Construction to LJM Tiny Homes. Jo also shares a caring and supportive reminder if you feel apprehensive, overwhelmed, and anxious about going through the process of even deciding to design and have a tiny home built. I know that was me at the start. We also talked about some changes that Jo has observed in the industry since LJM started around 7 years ago, including the client demographic they serve and how they've evolved their service over the years. What makes LJM unique, including the custom builds and the customer journey, and lots more. Now, if you haven't listened to our previous show together, episode 27, I'll put a link in the show notes at tinyhouseconversations.com. All right, let's not wait any longer. On to this tiny house conversation with Jo. Hey, Jo, welcome back to Tiny House Conversations. It's so good to have you on the show again.
Yep, great to be here. Thanks for inviting me, Lucy, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So good to see you. Now, Jo, you were back on the show in episode 27, I believe it was, and that was around the middle of 2022. So I know that a lot has happened in that time, and I'm excited to dive into all of that with you. But before we dive into all of that, just in case anyone hasn't gone back to listen to episode 27 yet, I'd love to just, if you're able to introduce yourself, maybe just let us know a little bit about what brought you into the world of small space living, like what inspires you around that, and then how LJM came to be.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love to. And thanks for taking the time to listen, anyone listening out there. So, yeah, my background is one of my first homes ever was a small, tiny home. And then throughout my sort of young childhood, I lived in quite a few small spaces. And at the time, it was normal. But as I grew older and communicated with my friends and then realised of how much of a positive influence that did have on me living in out in nature. And then, so I think inside me, I really wanted to, you know, help other people have that experience and that upbringing. So when I discovered the tiny house movement in sort of around 2017, my eyes were just like so open and I was just fascinated by it. And then had the privilege of working alongside Luke McGurgan at LJM Carpentry and Construction at that time as a carpenter. And our relationship just blossomed and I became a co-owner in that business, which is now LJM Tiny Homes. And I was just able to use my carpentry experience, because I'm a qualified carpenter, with my communication skills and, yeah, combine those skills together to help people design and build their dream tiny homes. So I feel so fortunate, to be honest, Lucy, to be doing what I do. Like, I truly love it. I look forward to getting up every morning, and because each day is different, there's so many different challenges, and it's just such a highly rewarding industry to be a part of. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me, if you didn't tune into the last episode.
And I will put a link in the show notes for anyone that wants to go back and listen to that. I love it as you're talking about in having connection to nature, that we've got the birds singing in the background, like joining us in the conversation. So that's really beautiful. And yeah, I think I said this to you last time we talked, that, you know, you're not just building tiny homes, and you can really feel this genuine want to help people and bring their dreams to life through the medium of tiny houses, and bringing the making things easier for them to transition into a way of living that really works for them. So I really love what you guys do, and this is, you know, a big reason why I wanted to have you back on the show. And, you know, I mentioned before, like, it's been a little while since last time and lots has happened. I know you've built many more tiny homes. You guys also got awarded Builder of the Year at the inaugural Tiny House Industry Awards. So congratulations on that, because that is, there were many great tiny house builders in the running, and there's so many amazing talented builders out there, and there's more and more jumping on board every month, you know. So to do that and to be recognized for that and from where I'm sitting, very, very well deserved. And I know you just mentioned the rebrand of the name, going from LJM Carpentry and Construction to LJM Tiny Homes. Do you want to fill us in a little bit about what's been happening since we last spoke, last couple of years, and do you, anything you want to share about that?
Absolutely. I'd love to. So, yeah, well, it was not that long ago, 2022, but it feels like so much has happened. In 2022 and 2023, we successfully delivered 50 houses exactly all across Australia, which was so exciting and challenging, and to have another 100 clients and client relationships, I think, has helped, yeah, really just boost everyone in my team's confidence and experience. Like, it's amazing what you can learn off just building one house. Every time you build another one, you learn something else. So the volume that we've been able to produce, but yet keeping the same customer care and opportunity to customize the product, has been in a really exciting journey. So that's what we've been up to in the factory. I guess, like, all of my team, both in the design and construction process, have just grown so much. I'm so proud of all of our whole team in the factory, what they do every day to produce what they can. And having that experience behind them is just giving us such a positive uplift. We decided to rebrand, actually, just because we were building a new website and it felt like the time to do it. The main focus behind changing from LJM Carpentry and Construction to LJM Tiny Homes was, originally we were a residential building company. That's where that original name came from. And then I just wanted to make sure that if anyone was searching tiny home builders, that we popped up and that we were an option for people. I just, yeah, really wanted to make sure that if people were looking for a tiny home builder, they were able to at least find us and give us a go. And it's worked great.
Definitely. I think, as we were talking offline before, tiny houses is not going away anytime soon, and we're seeing more and more people look towards this way of living for themselves, as well as more builders coming on board. So I think it's a really smart move that you've done to sort of make yourself more visible as specific tiny home builders. And I think you guys have been around for about 6 years, right, doing what you do with building tiny homes. Is that correct?
Yep. Six, 7 years. Yeah.
And I love how you said just before as well that, you know, each new build you learn lots of different things, and you take away you know, more knowledge and experience to then move into the next build and the next one, and just, I guess, how you operate as a business, I'm assuming. Yeah. And I know that you do custom builds, and that's something that not a lot of builders do. Like, some, there are some builders that do that, but I think because of so many moving parts, and it can make the process very complicated when you're constantly moving things, changing things around from base models. But I really respect that you guys do that. And I know that it's one of the unique parts of what you do. Do you want to share with us a bit more about your custom builds and what that looks like?
Totally. Yeah, great question, Lucy. So I think we've been able to maintain the opportunity to customize but still keep the build quality and experience because we've gradually grown from doing like 10 a year to, you know, doing 25 a year to doing 36 to doing 50. So it's been like such a gradual, natural process to get to that point. And because we've actually never built one house that's exactly the same. So my team, they're actually accustomed to building custom. So for them, that's normal, which is quite bizarre, but it is the normal thing to build custom. So every time they pick up a plan and they read through that, they know who they need to communicate to. They're not afraid to look at something and offer advice. And then we can call the client and sort of run them through, you know, other potential scenarios to achieve what we're all trying to achieve together. So yeah, the custom process with us is starts from speaking with me. So helping me understand what's important for you, why are you choosing to go tiny, who else is in your family, parents, children, animals, where's your comfortable space? You know, in your home, you want to feel safe. You want to feel like it's right for you. And if you can kind of explain that to me in as much depth as possible, then we can sort of start to learn what you're about and sort of give you some different options about what's possible. And then that sort of flows through the whole design process from drawing up plans to looking at all different kinds of specifications and materials. And then once it gets to my building team, because of their experience in building custom, of course it's challenging, but we just take it really, really seriously. And if there's ever any questions, it's just, once again, it's about communication. And I find that if our clients are informed about all things that are happening, there's just no way you can really go wrong because you're making all of your decisions together. And I guess, Lucy, why that is all possible is because I just have such an incredible team. Like a huge part of our success is genuinely down to my team every day and sort of the energy and effort that they put into that. And I guess looking at winning the Builder of the Year in the inaugural Tiny House Industry Awards last year, like that was one of the biggest positives for me, is that that was a win for my whole team and like all of their families and everyone around that. And that was just such a positive driver and so helpful for me to help them see how much of a positive implication it's having on, you know, our clients' lives, past and present.
Yeah, I love that you brought in that aspect of team because it reminds me, it's almost like a microcosm to just being human in a sense. Like we couldn't do it without each other, right? Like, and we're not meant to do it alone. And so to have a team of people where, you know, you're working towards a common goal, you have, you know, very similar values and all of that, I can imagine how that would translate into the types of homes that you're helping people create and bring to life. And I also love how you talked about going deeper with each customer, you know, really finding out what it is that is important to them and, you know, what kind of home they're wanting to build and, you know, who they have in their life and all of that, because that really gets to the heart of things. And I think that's where sometimes it can get lost, you know, because it's not just about like the physical layout of the home. It's about so much like what's behind all of that, right? Like the essence of a person, yeah, and really seeing someone for who they are and what they want to achieve and not just being a business transaction. So I really love that you brought in all of that.
Absolutely, Lucy. Like there's no right or wrong way to design a home that's right for you. And the interesting thing is that everyone has a different feel and a different thing that is important to them. And that's the truly unique thing about being able to design a tiny home to live in, is you can do it however you want to do it. And And that's really special, eh?
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious as well, because you were talking about like all these different custom builds and learning things from every single build, and no build is the same. Have you taken some things that you've maybe learned from different customers to then apply to your base models, or just practices that you do in construction, or even just things that you offer people in future builds?
Yeah, definitely. So, but having an organized system, so recording all design and specifications decisions and sort of like really communicating that and going through that before the build starts, but then also having that as like a, as something that we can refer back to so that we can show future clients what other people have done and then help them get a similar sort of quality specification. I've also learned that the more involved like my carpenters and my team can be in understanding that client's vision and personality, the more likely they are to be able to keep the development of that build flowing post plans being signed off and the build being started. I find it's really, really helpful to get people to come into the factory when their frames have been stood, and you can see exactly where your window is going to be, and we can write down on the floor exactly where like all of the cabinetry is going to be laid out, and have a coffee in the house and sit in your lounge and look around and make sure it does feel how you want it to feel, because you can still tweak things, or, you know, it puts less pressure on yourself to have got that design perfect. Yeah, there's so many things we are learning constantly. It actually amazes me, because every time it happens, like we just finished a build for a client where we did like a wraparound sort of staircase through the bathroom and up into an office loft. And creating an area where you can work from home is always like quite challenging to not let that dominate the rest of the design of the build. I was sitting up in the client, up in that loft with our client doing the final walkthrough, and he was sitting in his office desk, and I had goosebumps, genuine, because I could see like how happy he was, and I could see him going to work there. We literally didn't leave the loft for about 15 minutes, just sitting up there chatting. So, yeah, constantly being amazed about what our clients come up with innovative design ideas. And I think just learning to remain open and remain positive and giving it the time that it needs to do design. I think everyone's different as well, Lucy? Like some people like to be guided more and other people like to be guiding you more. So it's just learning and to how to work and adapt with each and every person. And like what you said before, how you like that about what we do, I really do try and treat every person like they're their own, they've got their own build happening for their own reasons, rather than like just a number that we're doing a build for on this month.
Yeah, it sounds like a real collaborative process. And as you were talking, it was reminding me of when I first, or before I first started designing my current tiny home. And I remember, because it was something that was completely new, I'd never done anything like that before, and I didn't know terminology around building or houses or anything, and I learned so much going through that process. But I know for me, even though I planned, and everyone's going to approach it differently, but for me, before I actually had my first design meeting, I literally went through and thought about, what are my values? Like, what's most important to me? What are my needs? How am I going to use the space? And then I listed out every single area in the home, you know, all the main areas at least. Do I want a loft? Do I want to be on the ground floor? All of that. And even though I had all these things prepared and questions to ask that I wasn't 100% sure about, like, is this possible? Can we do this? Are we able to move this? Because I was doing a custom home, I still went into the first design meeting with a little bit of like anxiousness, because I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. And it feels really overwhelming. And it's like, this is a big investment in my life. Like, this is my home that I'm going to have a hand in building. So I share that because I'm wondering what you would say to someone that was wanting to go tiny, and they've never done it before, which is, I think, most people, right? Like, most people haven't done that. It's not something that a large percentage of the population has done. But if someone's curious about wanting to design their tiny home for the first time, especially if it's a custom build, what would you say to someone that's kind of, you know, a little bit apprehensive or anxious or nervous about going into that process, especially if they're going to come and work with you?
Loving these questions, Lucy. Gosh, yeah. how good is this? So if you were sitting in front of me in that situation, or if we had another client, I would just say, look, it's totally normal to feel like that. Like, I feel like that a little bit too, because I want to get this perfect for you. And, like, if you weren't feeling nervous, then you're not alive. And we're so alive right now designing your dream tiny home. And we don't have to get it perfect the first time. It's really just sharing ideas, bouncing different things about what is possible, or like what that would flow on and create, and getting to know what will be the right thing. But there's no pressure to get it right the first time. There's going to be so many more opportunities to meet and discuss. The ideal thing is just to be able to start by drawing up a plan and then see how that feels and go from there. And don't put any pressure on time. Like, it'll just take as, obviously, depending on how long until you need your tiny home delivered. If you needed it delivered in like 3 months, then there's a little bit more time frame stuff. Ideally, if you'd put no pressure on time, things just flow naturally and you actually end up making the decisions in a time frame.
I can attest to that too, that it's almost what I experienced before is, it's almost just like anything you do in life where you just take one step at a time. Like, it's not about, like you said, it's not about getting it perfect the first time. And things are going to change over that period too. I know for me, the process was maybe a couple of months long. And then, like, I made all these different changes, like going back and forth. And then in a few months when, like, things were locked in, I was like, oh, I feel like actually my needs have changed even before the build started. So that's, there's going to be that kind of thing happening too. And I guess it's just knowing that, yeah, like, you have the time and the space to go back and forth. You can always ask questions. And it's just that whole, I'm remembering the analogy of how do you eat an elephant? You know, you eat it one chunk at a time. You don't try and eat the whole thing together. And we can apply that same philosophy around designing a tiny home, but also everything that we do in life, really. Yeah. And then what comes out of that is so rewarding, and it's amazing seeing an idea, a design, and then a build, and then a delivery come to life. Like, that journey is just so incredible.
Yeah, it does feel like you're living in like another universe sometimes when you spend all this time designing the house and like chatting about specific areas, and then like the trailer comes in and 2 days later the frames are up and you're like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And that's how I feel. I couldn't imagine like what our clients are feeling like. So yeah, it's definitely a pretty amazing and unique thing to be able to do. In the client's shoes, like, it's your home, you're going to do as much research and energy into getting your plans and your specifications perfect. But you are going to wake up at 3 a.m. and have a light bulb moment and think, oh, where am I going to put my coffee machine? Or, you know, am I going to be able to see when I'm walking down my stairs? And that's okay. You know, that's actually when the gold, the last sort of 5% magic dust sprinkles through, and that's, you know, where you get it perfect. And we rely on our clients as well to be able to communicate that through to us so that we can, you know, do our job and help communicate any pros and cons around those decisions and get that onto the build sheet.
I love that you said that as well about waking up at 3 a.m. because I feel like I had an experience like that probably many times over my process where, and a lot of it actually, it's reminding me now, it's coming back to me around the cladding, because the cladding was kind of the last thing that I was still going back and forth about. And I'm like, I'm not sure. And then I was getting all this inspiration and I thought I was going to go one way with having WeatherTex and painting and all of this. And then one day I just like woke up, or I had this thought of like, hang on a minute, how about I go with, and I know you'll appreciate this because we have a similar taste in that beautiful green color, that nature green color. Yeah.
Did you go mangrove or pale? You went mangrove. That was my favorite color mangrove of all time. Yeah. Love.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And I was like, I want this nature green color because I want to blend in with the trees and the surroundings. Yep. And then that's what I've gone with. And yeah, the mangrove color, which I think is maybe correct me if I'm wrong, it's not really available anymore. Is that right?
It's not available. I can't believe it. It was my favorite color.
Yeah.
But yep. So you got them just in the nick of time.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I still have the pale eucalypt. And I know that your LJM uniforms are like a very similar color as well, right? Like I remember seeing that on your on your social pages. Yeah, so good. So yeah, it's such a fulfilling, amazing process, and it's very unique. And I know that I learn a lot about it. I mean, I didn't even know what cladding was before, right? I didn't know that terminology and all the different things that go into constructing a home. So,
and I think just to touch on something else with that, Lucy, like if you are listening now and if you are thinking about the design of your build, or you haven't started yet and you are feeling a bit nervous about it or even overwhelmed because there are so many different options, that's also normal. Don't put yourself under any pressure because of that. That's totally normal to be thinking that and feeling like that, because they are such big decisions and it is so important for your life. That's why you're thinking that. And when you get to the time of actually drawing up plans and being able to visualize that, or being able to come into a tiny house factory and be inside similar designs and really like think that through, it will all naturally come into place at the time that's right. So if you are listening, you are thinking about that, you're not sure what cladding you should do on the outside, you will eventually make the right decision.
It's like I can feel sometimes like decision fatigue, because there are a lot of decisions, but again, it's just coming back to those small decisions one step at a time. And I think as well, trusting the process, because that's something I know that helped me personally. And I think it helps personally in everyday life too, in those decisions that we make, especially in those bigger decisions that are going to be literally life changing. So
totally.
Yeah, I really love how you shared around all of that. And so we mentioned earlier that you guys have been building for about 6 years in tiny homes. And I'm sure, and even I've experienced it for myself over the years, there's been changes in the industry, and builds that we're seeing now, you know, are maybe a little bit different to what we were seeing back then, say 6 years ago or even before that, when tiny homes sort of started to become a little bit more known. Especially here in Australia, where I think we're a little bit behind the US and Canada and even Europe. But what have you seen in the industry, as well as maybe just the way that LJM has evolved around your builds, or any practices, or the way that you approach tiny homes?
Yeah, great question again. And there's so much to talk around that question, but to just sort of go into one thing that I have noticed is in the last probably 12 to 18 months, I've really noticed a large volume of people that maybe didn't even know that much about tiny homes 2 years ago and are now looking at tiny homes as like a serious, viable and positive option for their future long-term home, whereas our clients that we were building for, say, 2 years ago had maybe been researching into tiny houses for like 5 years and had done a lot of research around so many different avenues to go with tiny homes. So now we're meeting people that are much earlier on in their tiny house journey, but also in a position where they're like wanting to start the build and start the process. So that comes with a different set of challenges, which is no problem. But it's more about sort of helping educate them around, you know, where you can find somewhere to park your tiny home, what a composting toilet is and how they operate, how they're transported, and sort of like legalities around on-road things, even some things like around, like there's a lot of sort of like early stage council questions and things like that. So we're finding that, yeah, definitely getting a lot of young families or even retirees that are not super educated on tiny home movement, but are very, very positive and have a lot of drive to go tiny and see it as a real option for them for their long-term home, which is obviously really exciting. And Lucy, that's really our niche as well. So out of the 50 houses that we built last calendar year, 47 of them were full-time homes. So that's not something that we've tried to like target the full-time living market. It's just sort of being something that's naturally sort of progressed and happened. And because people are maybe living with three, even four people in one tiny home, they're wanting to go much bigger and have a lot of storage, a lot of custom joinery, which comes with the challenges of like around weights and things like that. But where there's a will, there's a way. And it is so exciting to see the volume and the positive energy getting pushed towards the tiny house movement. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just feel great to be here and to be sort of a part of that journey.
It's an exciting time for sure. And I can definitely agree with, I've seen so many people from different walks of life now looking at this as a serious housing option. And I suppose it's also a reflection of just what's happening, you know, with economics and cost of living and the fact that having a roof over our heads and housing is a basic human need that for all of us, right? It applies for every single one of us. And it's a nice reminder too that tiny homes is not just for a certain type of person. Like Absolutely. You can sort of look at it in a way of, okay, well, previously there was a lot of people that were maybe looking at it from a reconnecting to the earth a little more or lessening the impact or wanting to live off grid and being really mindful of the resources that we use. And while that's still very true for a lot of people going tiny, there's also that big financial aspect. And you're talking about retirees before even I've been hearing a lot about and seeing and speaking to different people that have maybe gone through a divorce and then going tiny is an option, you know, for that too. And so it's really heartening to see that so many more people are being reached by this and maybe sparking something in them going and maybe giving them hope too in the potential financial hardship going, maybe this is something I can look at for my family or myself or, you know, whatever it might be. And I find it interesting that you said too that majority of your builds, the 50 builds or whatever it is, were mostly for long-term living. So that kind of, that's a massive indication there because I know for a while there was a bit of Airbnb like, and there still is, but it felt like there was a lot more Airbnb for a certain amount of time. I don't know if you saw that. We want to be serious about alternative housing solutions for people that are going through really challenging times, especially. And yeah, I'm excited to just kind of see what happens. We're talking offline before in a new year, 2024, what's going to happen this year in the world of tiny houses. So yeah, let's see.
Yep. No, very well said, Lucy. And it is great that it is an option for people for whatever reason and whatever's happening in their life, if that going tiny feels like it's an option for them. It's so amazing to be a part of that journey.
I would love to just talk a little bit about what makes LJM unique because we spoke initially before about custom builds. What about the journey of the customer? Just taking a quick break from the conversation to let you know, I'm now offering tiny house consulting. I get questions all the time about tiny house living and have lots to share from my own personal experiences of going through the design process of building a tiny, finding the right builder for me, living in a tiny home, as well as through speaking with guests on the show and beyond. So if you have questions about your specific situation and you want to dive deeper into where to start, preparing to transition into tiny living, how to find a parking space for your home, or talking through what some of the best options could be for you when it comes to creating your dream tiny life, just know that I'm here for you. You can head over to tinyhouseconversations.com/consult. I'd love to help you on your tiny journey. Now, back to the show.
What makes LJM Tiny Homes unique? I think we genuinely have a passion for the industry and we all care so much about getting it exactly right to the best of our possible abilities. So yes, like we can do a custom design and execute a custom build, but a part of that is having a great customer journey. So what I try to achieve from the very first moment that I'm speaking with someone all the way through to our transport partners, delivering it to site and helping them unhook it, and when they start to get their tiny home set up on site, communicating with us, that whole process, I want it to be that journey, I want it to be a positive one. Just briefly, what that journey sort of looks like is talking with me, discussing their tiny home hopes and dreams, understanding each other, getting it to a point where we can give like a detailed, specific quote on what that's going to cost and anything that you're not sure about, what that would cost, and understanding a full, complete budget on everything. So any other associated costs, whether that's delivery, any on-site setup, if you need any off-grid things, just so you understand that full picture. I've, for some reason, been thinking about going tiny is almost like a pizza, and there's like 8 pieces. The build part is just one piece, and then the design piece might be another, but you've also got to find somewhere to park your tiny house. You may have to organise finance, figuring out the logistics to get to that point. So there's so many pieces that you have to sort of piece all together to be able to feel like you're ready to move forward on that. And often that can be super challenging because there's different things that are up in the air. So being able to have a sounding board with me or someone in my team to be able to be like, hey, I found this place. It's my auntie's property. Like, it's beautiful. There's a lake down there. I just don't know if I can get it in. And it's like, awesome. Sounds like a fun challenge. So I can do like either get a video if you're far away from the battery, or come out and look at it in person, make sure we are able to actually get it in, and then look at like what on-site costs you are going to be associated with that site, so you know it's possible. It's about working as a team to get all of those slices of pizza together to be able to sort of move forward. So the customer journey is important to look not just at the design and the build, but everything else going on, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense, and I love the analogy of the pizza, but keep going.
So once we've got to that point and we're like, yes, this is definitely, it feels right, what we would do is we would do a deposit and then we would start the official design process. So before that, we may have drawn up a plan or two and, you know, really made sure we're on the same page. But once the design process officially starts, you'd work with our own in-house architect and draw up your main building plans, windows and joinery plans. And once that was all complete, you do all other specifications. And you do that with our amazing Vicky Sinclair, who's an really experienced tiny house expert. And she will go through, we leave no stone unturned. So what composting toilet do we want to use? External cladding as an example. These are the colours. These are the options. Where would you like to have any feature, other material? And we bring it all together on a really organised sheet to make sure that we feel really positive about that. And through that process, things may have changed price-wise. So we can sort of do a bit of a calculation and make sure it still fits within budget. And if it doesn't, that's okay. We can still play around with it to make sure it, ultimately you're happy with that. Once we've finished all the plans and specifications, then it goes through into the building department and they basically start the build when the trailer comes in, but that's not where the customer journey ends. So we'll be sending you pictures, literally like 3 sets of pictures every week as the update goes through, and we want to get you to come into the factory and actually see your tiny house while it's being built, or at least do some video calls and be available. So myself and Vicky will always say to our clients, like, we're probably going to call you like in the next 4 weeks. If we call you up and ask you about like your window or your toilet, don't stress, like there's no problem. We probably just want to make sure what we're doing is exactly right, and we want to involve you in those calls. So I'll be like in the factory with my plumber on a FaceTime call, like talking about where we're putting the tap, and it's good times. As you know, when you're doing your build, you're like sitting there wondering what's going on, like where is it at? What does the bench shop look like? So I find like having that connection, you know, where you're like seeing what's going on, you really do feel, you start to feel connected with your home already before you've even seen it. Then once we do finish the build, I do a final walkthrough with our clients and go through everything to make sure it's exactly perfect before we deliver the homes. And then post-delivery, we're available for any follow-up calls about, you know, how do we set up our gas if you're unsure, or is there a way to re-level the house or anything like that. We make sure that we're fully available to be of any assistance that's required. The delivery is a massively important piece to the puzzle, and it can be a little bit stressful because it's like your home is being transported on the road and you just like want it to arrive. But we have extremely experienced and talented delivery partners, which make that process stress-free. And I help with the logistics part of that process, so it's sort of as stress-free as it possibly can. So that's sort of the customer journey from first phone call to delivery to site. What I've been doing a lot recently as well is trying to help educate our clients about post-delivery timeframes. If the pizza allows you to make this happen, I would actually have your tiny house delivered in July and then have 2 months to just get everything set up, connect your guttering, get your water set up, hook up your, not that it needs to take that long, you could do it in a much shorter time frame. But if you are building decks on site or anything like that, if you can have it delivered a bit earlier, it will just make that process not as pressurized with time frames, and when you move in, it's just not stressful in any way. And it's good to manage the expectation around from when it arrives to when you might be moving in, and give it the necessary time that you need to do that. Just because you're so excited and you want to understand like that post delivery process as best as possible. So yeah, that's the customer journey.
There is a lot that goes into what I do love, again, that analogy of the pizza, because it definitely is way more than just the design and the build. And the fact that you guys are taking all of that into consideration and doing your best to make it as smooth and, let's not, I was going to say stress-free, but there will be some stress, I'm sure, but, you know, minimizing that, right, and making it easier, yeah, I think is fantastic.
And always working as a team. So if there's something stressful that's happening, like, you know, let's talk about it and find the best solution. Yeah. But ultimately, yeah. Again, building a home is going to have some form of stress somewhere along the way, even if it's nothing's happening. It's just because it's such a big thing. So it's just being okay with that, communicating about that from the beginning, and then just always being working on the same side.
And I love that because I can really feel that, you know, if someone has a question or if something is feeling stressful or uncertain, that they can come to you and you can do your best to try and help navigate things. So, yeah, that's great. And as we start to close out the conversation today, Joe, I just love to check in with you. Is there anything you feel like we haven't covered today that you wanted to share or to leave our listeners with?
I think we've covered everything. It's been a real pleasure chatting again, Lucy. Time always flies, hey. I can't believe that we've been on this call already. It feels like we just started. But no, thanks everyone else for listening too. And good luck out there with all of your tiny house journeys, wherever you may be on. And if you did want to reach out to us, Lucy will leave some links for our website and you can just fill out the contact forms. That's probably the best way to contact us. And don't feel shy. Doesn't matter what part of the journey you are on, we're always open to have a tiny talk.
Beautiful. I'll definitely put a link in the show notes. Do you want to just say for everyone listening your website URL as well as maybe Instagram and Facebook, or where the best other places that they can come and just check out what you're doing, maybe even see the pictures of your builds and things like that?
That's a great idea. Yeah. Any social media platforms, LJM, jump on and have a look at that, and any modes of contact is absolutely fine. And I hope that was helpful for the listeners out there, Lucy. I think we covered some good points.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you always bring such golden and also authenticity to the conversation and just the tiny house space. So I want to just acknowledge you and appreciate you. And I've always loved like our chats and getting to know a little bit more about you each time, and just feeling how I've said it before, that genuine care and that genuine want to help people, and you can really feel that just in conversation with you. So thank you for what you do with LJM, and it's really great to be in this space with you. Thank you so much again for being here with Joe. And if you're listening to this conversation, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Stay tuned every Thursday for new episodes of Tiny House Conversations, and we'll see you in the next one.
See you later, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks again for listening. And if you enjoyed the conversation today, you found it valuable and you want to support the podcast, the best way you can do that is to share the love. That way I can keep bringing you more tiny house conversations to help you on your own tiny journey. So here are three ways that you can support the podcast. Number one, if you have a friend or family member that you feel would benefit from hearing these conversations, feel free to share it with them, email them, text them, send them a telegram, do whatever you need to do to share it with them. Number two, if you hit the subscribe button, you'll know exactly when the next episode is live. And number three, if you head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and review. Thank you so much in advance. I appreciate you, and I'll see you in the next episode.